Welcome, everyone. Today, we will explore how the evil applied cycle powers a universal machine by building a tiny scheme like interpreter and extending it with one small language change. Every time you run a Python file, something has to read your program and decide what each expression means. Today, we are going to build that something, an interpreter. It sounds mystical, but it will come from a simple loop. We'll start from familiar ideas, objects, functions, and scope. Then we'll see how parsing makes code into data and how the eval apply cycle turns that data into behavior. Last lecture, we used classes to manufacture objects and we tracked state using instance attributes through self and init. Today, instead of objects storing fields, we'll store bindings in frames, names mapped to values, and our interpreter will manipulate those frames to give meaning to code.
So the interpreter is basically like an object system, but for names and expressions instead of attributes and methods?
Here is a big philosophical shift. A program is just another piece of data if we choose to represent it that way. An interpreter is a machine that takes that data and makes it act like computation. First, we turn the raw characters into a structured representation like a nested list. That is the moment where code becomes data. Then, evaluation is a repeated reduction process. Each step takes an expression in an environment and produces a value until nothing is left to interpret.
And the output could be a number or it could be effects like printing, right?
Before we can evaluate anything, we need a structure. Parentheses give us a tree for free, and our job is to recover that tree from the string. Our raw input is a string that looks like a math in prefix form, plus then its arguments, including a nested multiplication. Tokenizing is just chopping the string into meaningful pieces, like open paren plus one star and so on.
And parsing is where the parentheses become nested lists, so the structure is explicit?
Tokens, plus, in, twi, dri, AST forms. Atoms parse into int, float, for example, via intoken, float token, or symbol strings lists parse into Python lists. Open bracket plus 1, comma open bracket times 2, comma 3, close bracket, close bracket. Let us start absurdly small. No variables, no functions, just arithmetic expressions represented as nested Python lists. If the expression is a number, evaluation is trivial. The value is the number itself. This is the base case that ends the recursion. If the expression is a list, the first element selects an operation like plus or times, and the rest are sub-expressions that we recursively evaluate.
Let me try. Plus 1, 2 is 3, plus 3, 4 is 7, and times 3, 7 is 21. So I predict 21.
This equation is the interpreter in one line. Evaluation takes an expression and an environment and produces a value. The environment matters because names need meaning. When the expression is a name, like x evaluation, means search the environment frames until you find what x is bound to.
So the environment is basically the dictionary that makes symbols stop being vague and become actual values?
Exactly. And when the expression is a combination, we evaluate the operator part to get a function, evaluate each operand to get arguments, and then we hand all of that to apply. Combination, evaluate operator, evaluate operands, then apply. Evaluation figures out what to do, application actually does it. Apply is the part that decides how a procedure consumes arguments. For primitives, we do not interpret body. We just call a Python implementation, like multiplying two numbers. For compound procedures, the diagram shows the key move. Create a new call frame and bind each parameter name to the corresponding argument value.
And then, when the body uses xlookup, finds x in the new frame first, before it ever looks in the global frame?
This slide is why SICP calls it the crown jewel. The interpreter is two functions that call each other, and that mutual recursion exposes what a programming language really is. When EVO sees a function call, it cannot finish the job alone. It must produce a procedure and argument values, then hand them to apply.
And apply is not done either, because for user-defined functions, it has to interpret the body expression, which means calling eval again.
Right. The cycle stops only when you hit something with a direct meaning, a literal, like a number or a primitive procedure implemented by the host language. If everything were a function call interpretation, it would be simple. But languages need a few constructs that do not evaluate all of their parts the usual way. Those are special forms. If is the class example, you must not evaluate both branches, because one branch might error or loop forever, even when it is not chosen.
Define also feels special because it changes the environment, not just produces a value.
Exactly. And lambda is special because it does not run a body. It packages parameters and body together with the environment where it was defined. That is a closure. Now, we put the pieces together. If our input is already parsed into lists, our interpreter can run a multi-step program by evaluating one expression at a time in a global environment. This first expression defines square by binding the name square to a closure created by lambda.
Then the second expression is just a function call, so eval evaluates square to a procedure, evaluates 5 to a value, and hands them to apply.
And apply extends the environment with x equals 5, evaluates the body star xx, and we end up at 25 through primitives. Result, value 25, via repeated eval and apply. Here is the power move. We can extend the language without changing apply at all. This equation says unless is not primitive. It is just syntax that rewrites into an if with swapped branches.
So unless is basically sugar. The interpreter can just translate it and then keep evaluating like normal.
Exactly. In code, this is just a new casing eval. If the first list element is unless, do the rewrite, then call eval on the transformed expression. And that is the moment you stop being just a language user. You are editing the rules of evaluation itself. Time to do it without me. We will predict first, then justify using the evaluation rules we have been repeating all lecture.
I think unless with a false condition returns the second argument, so it should return 10, and then plus 110 is 11.
Good. The justification is eval sees a plus call, so it evaluates operands. For the unless operand, eval rewrites it into an if, then eval of if selects only the correct branch, producing 10. Then apply of plus combines 1 and 10 into 11. And the reflection. If were an ordinary function, the interpreter would evaluate both branches before the call, which destroys the whole point of conditionals. Special forms exist exactly to break the normal evaluation rule when the language needs it. Thanks for watching this. Subscribe to Thinking in Math channel for this and other interesting math topics. And we always welcome your feedbacks. Leave your questions and suggestions in the comments.